Face Off here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. Good morning, boys.
Good morning, JC.
Morning, JC.
You know, we've been lauding the performance of our Detroit Tigers and noted with great interest the amount of improvement that's happened since the season began. There was a number of games, Keith, in that start when they opened up 8-19, mm-hmm. that they just handed some games over with bad defense, bad running. And for the most part, we haven't seen that in a while, but it reared its ugly head last night.
Yeah, last night they were cruising right along. Tarik Skubal especially took a no-hitter into the fifth inning. But then the wheels came off pretty quickly. Home run, I think, was the first base runner that they allowed.
Yeah.
And then there was a play at second base that could have been, should have been a double play. They didn't get either. That old neighborhood play that we liked, Rich, the phantom tag at second base. You don't get that anymore because they've changed up the rules a little bit, made it safer for the shortstop or second baseman making the turn. And safe at second, safe at first, and then a wild pitch later, and pretty soon
the whole house caved in.
It did.
Yep.
That was, a couple of unearned runs come in. They scored three total, but still that led to the demise. But, J.C., you know, how you start off, you're exactly right. The last 2 months since May 8th, the Tigers have been the fifth best baseball team in the American League.
How about that?
Yeah. That's, I mean, with this young, unproven crew for the most part, with a few veterans sprinkled in there, A.J. Hinch has really been a godsend and a miracle worker with this team.
In a defense that was, as you pointed out, J.C., atrocious at the beginning. I mean, terrible. They're one of the worst fielding teams in the league. Tigers are middle of the pack in the major leagues right now fielding, which means that in the last couple of months, they've really raised their level.
Well, the lineup is stabilized. You know, we were moving guys around, second and short,
right,
all over the place. That's changed. The outfield defense is outstanding.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of speed there. You know, a lot of weird nagging injuries. Grossman's got a little of the nick now. Mm. And it looks like, not Skubal, but
Spencer Turnbull. Had a setback with his forearm. He was throwing a little bit. And then the doctor said, no, you don't shut her down until after the All-Star game. Let's have another look at it. But they've already got Michael Fulmer's out and Matt Boyd is out.
Boyd will be back after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
So Evan Kroll.
Yeah.
He's going to start this weekend sometime.
He might. Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably has to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Manning's going tonight, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
All the
young pitchers, the first couple times on the mound have been pretty dicey and then kind of rolled into better. And maybe we'll see that from Manning tonight.
He's finding his legs. I mean, it takes a while. This is a major league. It's the best league in the world. And we see this with Justin Verlander, for God's sake.
Right.
Somebody comes up and starts, you know, lights out good. Casey Mize has been maybe the exception. But Matt Manning, he won his Comerica Park debut, pitched a real good game, and has struggled a little
bit. The White Sox is who he struggled against last week, but they didn't.
Yeah.
They managed to win that game.
Yeah, all we're looking for is growth and improvement. And, you know, he's, 1-2, 7.94 ERA. It's going to take some time. But
right. And when these young guys make mistakes, they're just getting a little too much of the plate is what the deal is. You know, the ball's curving over, and big league hitters, as they're finding out, aren't going to miss fastballs over the middle of the plate.
Not generally, although we are playing the Twins, who have been a disaster.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
After a win.
I mean, they were lucky to win last night. Yeah, let's face facts.
They were.
Yeah.
AL Central back-to-back champs. We're expecting the same thing this year coming out, and they have been atrocious this year.
They're in last place. It's shocking.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to imagine Nelson Cruz will get moved.
That's all the talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the deadline.
He's never won a World Series. It'd be nice to see him go to a team and finally do that because he's on the bat. What is he, 39?
It seems like he's 100.
I know.
Killing the Tigers.
He's hit 100 home runs against the Tigers.
We're going to see a lot of Nelson Cruz in the next week or so. This game was the first of 8 straight against the Twins. I've never seen anything like that.
Well, I mean, the All-Star break is wedged in there between.
That's right.
So,
yeah, that's right.
I mean, let's not get carried away.
But not, you look at that lineup with Cruz and Donaldson and Sano and Guy Power. That's a formidable lineup reputation-wise. But so far this year, it's just they haven't put it all together.
Well, you know, sometimes you've got the wrong skipper, and sometimes you've got the right skipper, and A.J. Hinch is the right skipper.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, from my standpoint, he's got to get some consideration for Manager of the Year.
The way the Tigers are playing right now, absolutely. They finished third in the Central, or you know, push who's just Cleveland just ahead of them. You're right. I
don't really fancy their chances to win the Central Division, but the betting numbers for them to do it are pretty enticing.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you had some injury, you know, the White Sox just lost Grandal, and they've had a couple of injury problems. You know, they lose like Luke List or one of their starters, Giolito. Things might get a little weird there, and a lot of pitching injuries are happening.
And I think you called it last week, JC, too. Cleveland, in their last 10, they're 1-9.
Yeah.
They're free-falling right now. So they're struggling big time, and I can see some of the stuff that you were saying a couple of weeks ago about the Tigers potentially could reach that 500 level.
Well, I know that I know they're reaching the 500 level, but the problem is there's no prop bet for that.
By the way, have you noticed
the numbers, the over numbers? Like I should have bet it. I told you for sure they'd make the go over the number that Vegas had on them. What was it, 64?
Yeah, they're going to be at 74, 75.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You can't make that bet anymore either. But I was too busy focusing on on football at the time. So
the one thing that you notice that runs are up, increasing. Spin rates are way down, and the guys who had the greatest, Garrett Cole, his numbers since his numbers are staggeringly different. Cratered, exactly.
Well, Yankees' entire staff.
That's right.
Aroldis Chapman is having a lot of problems.
Yep.
And we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if Boone was let go here right around the All-Star break, unless they make a deal or two to bring in some people to stabilize that. That Yankees team is a mess.
It is, and the payroll is staggeringly high, and they're struggling at 500 right now.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's crazy. Another team, the Chicago Cubs, right now struggling, JC. I know you don't like to see it, but
they had won, what was 9 in a row and 13 out of 15, and since then they're like 2-27.
Right.
It's ridiculous how they've fallen apart.
Talk of breaking up the team.
They are going to, you know,
that nucleus that won the World Series, and it's probably time.
Well, they've already broken it up. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, who was, until he got hurt, was just killing it.
Yes, he was.
A power hitter leading off the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, see that? Yeah, that was crazy what's happening. And there's talk that the Max Scherzer is going to get dealt.
Wow.
I read that article as well, JC. I mean, like you said, we could have some big name players, you know, changing teams during the trade deadline.
I'd be really careful about spending too much money on any pitchers these days until I figure out where they are with the new.
But that also leads to the fact that the new landscape, you know, are the Dodgers a lock to win the World Series? Like, I spent a lot of time looking at baseball futures, league futures, and World Series futures. I like my Giants. Like, my Giants are plus 800 to win the National League and plus 1600 to win the World Series. I got to figure the way the American League is. National League has got to be almost a mortal lock to win the World Series. Whatever team makes it from the American League, I don't see how they can hold a candle to the National League. Although the Astros are starting to play some.
Team.
Yeah, that's the one team.
That's the one team.
Yeah. They have avoided injuries. I saw Correa and Altuve are bowing out of the All-Star game.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Dusty Baker has yet to win a World Series. And, you know, in the back of the minds, all of the booing and all of the BS that these guys have gone through. I mean, if Verlander comes back and he can get people out, watch out for the Astros.
That's right. Yeah. I agree.
Very true. Very true.
I have not seen a timetable for Verlander, though. Did you see him saying that I could see that I'm going to finish my career in Detroit. I'm almost certain that's going to happen.
I would. That wouldn't surprise me at all. What is he? He's from Michigan.
That would be cool.
He loved it here. He was a god here.
And I'm sure part of that was the fact that, hey, A.J. Hinch is here, and he could see the road ahead.
That's right.
Yeah.
All these young pitchers, he could be the old ace of his staff with all these young guns on the money and work with them a little bit.
He loved that.
Great move.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a fantastic move.
That would be the investment I would make to pay him probably more money than he's worth. Because he fills seats, and he has such a good influence on younger people and teammates.
You know, he left on great terms.
Yep.
He did. Yes, exactly. Yeah, it was a tough decision for him. He wanted to remain a Tiger, but he also knew they were going to go through a tough rebuilding phase. He went to the right team, won a world championship. Spencer Torkelson, down on the farm there at Double-A Erie, has hit 11 home runs in his last 35 games. So he is great, and he hit one over dead center Wednesday night. 402-foot is where the fence is. The ball was still going, and it hit like 30 feet above the fence, those minor league fields, you know. So he is absolutely crushing it right now, and it's good to see.
Well, the future is coming faster than we think, you know. What about the Riley Green report?
The Riley Green still batting leadoff. This week was a little bit of a struggle. He's only gotten a couple of hits, but again.
How old is he? Is he even 20 yet?
He is 20.
Okay.
He is 20. So that is it. But those guys will be playing in the Futures game this coming Sunday.
I'm dreaming here a little bit. But
sure.
Wouldn't it be, you got these kids coming, those two kids, the ones they have now, especially on the mound, Justin Verlander comes back, they put it all together for one magical 1984 type season, and they win a World Series when Verlander's pushing 40.
One thing
that's kind of dismaying me, and we should probably get Lynn Henning on here maybe next week.
We can do that.
Number one, the Tigers get screwed. They should have the number one pick in the draft. They're going to get number three in the draft. And the clear number one, actually the clear, like the first five guys are all high school players,
correct,
which is unusual.
Yeah.
Very unusual.
It's so risky to take a high school player. I want to talk to Lynn about that. Most of them are shortstops, which is a need the Tigers have.
Very true.
But I don't know how quickly, I mean, unless you're Derek Jeter, Jeter's ascent through the minors and into Yankee Stadium was pretty rapid.
Yeah.
And every once in a while we see it. What's his name who's injured for the Angels, was only in the minors for a little bit?
Tatis?
No.
I forget.
It's how quickly people forget the best player in the league.
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout. Fielder. I know you're talking about.
Yeah, but he was only in the minors for like 4 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
and people are still talking about how did that guy drop to 18 or 12 or wherever he got taken in the draft. Tatis was not in the minors very long. Neither was Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Right.
Neither was Bryce Harper wasn't in the minors
very long. Those guys are like almost Hall of Famers from day one.
It's
unusual.
But when you're talking about this.
Were these kids, did all these kids come out of high school? All of them?
Yeah, I think so.
If you look at the mock drafts for Major League Baseball, four or five of the first seven potential picks are all high schoolers, pitchers and shortstops.
Yeah. Right. There's two Vanderbilt pitchers, the lighter kid and Kumar.
And those were the only two guys, and the rest of them are all high schoolers.
They are,
And, I guess you could, if you're going to take a high school kid, I'd much rather take a shortstop than a pitcher.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, it's just so hard for their arms to continue to develop. And you just projecting high school pitchers is so difficult.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that's why I wanted to talk to Lynn because, the Tigers are starting to crest there. But if one of these shortstops is one of those kids that only needs a year in the minors before he can really make a serious impact, the Tigers need a great shortstop.
Yep.
They haven't had one since Trammell.
Very few, correct. Very few people know the prospect landscape, who's coming, what's out there right now in the draft, than Lynn.
I think Lynn's working for free.
You know what? He retired. He's drawing his pension, and he's being well paid covering baseball for the Tigers still.
Good.
He and Chris McCoskey and Tony Paul, they're doing a great job covering baseball for the
Did you see the A.J. Hinch quote on trades? You have to come and pay for our guys. No more giving these guys up for free. You're going to have to pay for it.
I love that.
I did, too.
Well, it's kind of a screw you to
Alavila. Putting them on the spot a little bit.
Well,
don't be giving my players away, man.
I don't know anything about Chris Illich. But if A.J. Hinch walks into his office right now and said, I want approval of any deal before it's made, I'm thinking I'm listening to him.
He's better. Yeah, he better. Absolutely.
Because who's more important to this franchise right now, A.J. Hinch or Alavila?
Hinch, for sure.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. No question about it.
Not that I don't think A.J. Hinch wants to be general manager, but I think A.J. Hinch loves it here. He sees the potential here, and he wants to win a World Series here because then it's a F you to the league.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
When's the last time we had a manager-general manager combination in the same
baseball?
Job? Wasn't it the Cubs guy in the early 80s, came from Philadelphia? Oh, I've forgotten his name. I was covering the team then, but...
From Philadelphia.
Yeah, he was.
Well, he didn't do anything. If it was in the 80s, it was a no-go.
Early 80s.
Although the Cubs did have one or two good teams in the 80s when they had, they should have won. Yeah. They should have been in the World Series.
With the Tigers, sure.
I can't tell you who the manager of that team was, though.
No, Lee Elia was before that. He got fired.
I remember Dick Williams and Sparky Anderson, but I couldn't tell you who the Cubs manager was. But it should have been the Cubs and the Tigers, not the Pot. I don't want to rehash
we're back to AJ.
Leon
Hinch.
Durham. Everybody mentions Buckner, but the Leon Durham's error was just as critical as that. Yeah,
absolutely. I'd like to see to your point, JC, AJ Hinch being way more involved in those personnel decisions. Absolutely.
Yeah, with analytics and salary caps and all this other thing, there's no way you can manage a baseball team and be a general manager.
Right.
No
yeah.
way.
It's way too hard.
You need a capologist. You need a financial. You need things like that. Just like they have the analytical guys, too.
The only place it ever happens is in football, and that's just because of, what's his name from New England?
Belichick.
There's three guys in the NFL who are coaches and GMs.
And not all of them are successful. I mean, it's hard to do. And they as a coach, you want all the power to make the decisions. The guy out in Seattle.
Pete Carroll.
Yeah. But
there's a GM there.
Carroll
is not the GM.
But I think he has final
There's a director of football operations for the Patriots, but Belichick is coach and GM. And I can't remember who the other two is. I don't think it's New Orleans. But so it doesn't really matter.
Kansas City?
Reed? No.
No, I don't think so. They got our
But he's one of those guys that has as much influence as anybody in that.
Yeah.
But that's the only sport for some reason that you can pull it off, especially when you win six Super Bowls or make it to the Super Bowl.
With that, it's bigger. The rosters are 53 players and training camps with 100. It's just that many. It's crazy.
Well, there's just so much staff that it doesn't. You can get your little position papers and make some bigger decisions. Although, let's be fair, Bill Belichick's been a horrible GM.
He has,
He's a great football
coach,
but he's a horrible GM.
Doesn't happen much in hockey either. The last time I can recall a coach having real personnel power was in Detroit,
Scotty Bowman. Yeah. Hopefully, Keith and I talked about this briefly yesterday on Game On Update. We'd like to see the Tigers win the rest of these games and go on into the All-Star break on a real hot streak. Let those kids get out and decompress for a couple and see what happens on the second half of the season, and the Cabrera Roch will be in full swing.
Two hits last night.
Again last night.
246 now.
Yeah.
That's
when he was below 200.
Well, let's put it this way. Oh. He makes it to 300. He's going to be right there.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Neck and neck to get those 3,000 hits this year. You know, we've all had the dream, tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. Well, on FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to 1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, JC. There's the reason why FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlay, always on promotions that let you get more action out of every game day. And when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours.
Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code WGRY to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code WGRY.
21 and over, it must be present in Michigan. First online real money wager for risk-free bet. Refund is issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for more details. Gambling problems, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. And there's some interesting prop bets already for the All-Star game, especially the Home Run Derby. And Shohei Ohtani,
Shohei Ohtani.
The biggest Japanese-born man I've ever seen.
Except for sumo wrestlers, yeah.
The sumos aren't that tall.
No, they're just wild.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
I'm on a sumo wrestler as a goaltender.
Six, seven. I know.
All right, we're back after these words from our fine partners on Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by our good friends at Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, open for gaming, dining, and sportsbook now. That's exactly right. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on WGRY and Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And not that we had it as a topic, but, you know, it's really noteworthy, Rich.
Yeah.
With the new rule from allowing athletes to make money on their own images, that's the number one reason why Johnny Juzang is coming back to UCLA.
Right.
He's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
He'll make those appearances at car dealerships, and they'll pay him to sign autographs at, you know, appliance store openings and everything else. And he's in L.A.
I know.
And you know what?
He's good,
the
man.
Bruins are going to be one of the top five ranked teams in the country,
they
Keith.
Will.
And you don't know what Los Angeles is like when the Bruins are great.
Yeah.
There is only one other. Back when I was there, it was the Dodgers, the Bruins, and the Lakers. I mean, we were like
one day with
the Lakers. And the Lakers were good. Kareem was there.
Yeah.
I mean, Bruins basketball is a thing, is a real thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, those powder blue unis with the gold letters.
Oh, yes.
Johnny Juzang, that he's going to be signing those jerseys. I bet his jump shot will be affected.
I'm surprised, too, because he was so effective in the NCAA tournament, the way he could get his own shot. That was such an NBA, I thought he would transition well, and he must not have graded out to be a guaranteed first-round pick.
Well, he was certainly really spotty during the regular season.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know where the money shelf is, you know, depending on what your contract are, is if you're 12th or 18th or whatever.
Right, right.
And I'm sure Dickinson is looking at making some dollars. I think that's why you saw that huge laundry list of guys that came back in the draft, they had to tell you, on Wednesday.
Right.
And I most of the guys that... There was just a ton of guys that came back into the leagues into college. So
some significant names, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to see it. It's going to be the Wild West with kids and making money on their likenesses.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting for sure. Also, a little side note there: Kofi Coburn, that big monster at Illinois, he hit the transfer portal. By the way, he's leaving Illinois.
Whoa.
Well, he said he might come back. He's in the transfer portal. That doesn't mean he absolutely has to leave.
He's
just weighing his options.
Well, yes, he is exploring those options.
The one place he's not ending up is Michigan.
No. There's no place for him.
No place for him. Absolutely. So I don't know.
Wow.
I wonder if there's a room for him at Michigan State.
Ooh.
Man. You know, I thought, you know, there was a little bit of that controversy with that Illinois coach, if you remember.
Yes.
And it certainly probably did not set well with Kofi.
And their good guard is going to be drafted in the first round. Desanmu, I think is his name. But he was a really good player.
Very good player.
Spartans don't pay well enough, do they?
That's not what I've heard.
They might now.
That's not what Kevin Smith told me.
Really?
Yeah. Speaking of basketball, the NBA, we had game two last night. Keith, I lost both my bets.
The
Bucks didn't win, nor did they cover their 5.5-point spread, and they actually played the Suns to a dead heat, other than all the loose balls, all the second chance points. And those will kill you as bad as rebounds or turnovers, Rich.
Yeah, it certainly will. You know, 50-50 balls. And when you come up with a lot more of those, you got extra chances at making buckets. Of course, they made 23s on the night. That's never a bad thing compared to 9 for Milwaukee. I mean, when you're making threes and the other team's making twos, it adds up a whole lot quicker with those threes. And it's but again, going back to Milwaukee now, you know.
The series is over. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's no way Milwaukee's going to win 4 out of 5 against that basketball team. And the Suns don't lose at home. I mean,
that crowd is the real deal.
They're now 9-2 at home in these NBA playoffs.
You know, Milwaukee showed, we talked about it yesterday, JC, shown a lot of resiliency in these playoffs against the Nets and against Atlanta. They won when they had to win. I thought they had to win last night. They made the adjustments that you expected them to make, and they still didn't win, which is...
Well, you know, there is a wild card here, and that's injuries. Okay, we've seen a ton of them. Dario Saric is out of the series already, and they had another injury last night, Rich, to one of their guys in the rotation.
Yeah.
So, you know, if something happens to Ayton or Booker or Paul, then all bets are off.
For sure.
And, you know, Chris Paul does have this history of things kind of going sour as they're looking at NBA championships.
At the absolute worst time.
Yeah, so I'm not wishing that.
No.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Yep. No, for sure, JC. But, yeah, that's been his history.
Yep.
He's played in the league 16 years, and he's had a lot of these injuries when they've had really good chances to win titles.
No, it's it'll still be worthwhile basketball viewing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bucks are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it, JC. It's when you're down 0-2, but again, I can remember a lot of those, Keith, going back to the Piston bad boy days when they were playing Boston, and they go to the Garden there, lose two heartbreakers, come back and beat them at home by 20.
Yeah.
But then, of course, home court advantage for Boston was a big deal.
Something always seems to happen in Celtics' favor. It was crazy. I was there when Vinny and AD bumped heads under the basket there and so on, and the Pistons were leading, ahead of a banged up old Boston team, but they had a chance to catch their breath during that long time out when they had to stretch their AD off the court, and caught their breath and wound up coming back and winning that game. And boy, that's the day that Isaiah Thomas said if Larry Bird was black, he'd just be another player in the league. Oh my goodness!
Right, and him and Rodman both are, you know, they were kind of Isaiah came to the defense of Dennis Rodman and tried to backpedal a little bit and kind of explain it, but boy, no, that one really touched a lot of people.
I'm glad we're talking about the Pistons for just a second. I know that they're not playing. Their season was over a long time ago. They did get the number one pick. We all like Cade Cunningham, but the headlines persist that Troy Weaver is considering all options, including trading that pick, which makes me crazy.
It does, and I wish JC had to step out for a minute here, Keith, because I wanted to ask him. One of my questions for him was, would you consider taking, okay, say you can get a boatload for that number one pick.
Right.
I'm talking about numerous number one picks and still guarantee that you get that Jalen Suggs kid
from
Gonzaga.
Okay.
You can set up your franchise for the next 10 to 15 years.
If you can pay them all.
If you can pay them all. But again, you get a guy like Suggs And what is the difference between Suggs and Cunningham? Is it that big a deal?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I still haven't studied the draft long enough yet, Keith, to know the nuances. But boy, that Suggs kid is not a bad quote-unquote consolation.
I like him a lot. Absolutely.
He was an all-state football player in Minnesota. He was the Mr. Football there.
Yeah.
He was Mr. Basketball
yeah.
there. He was an all-around athlete that this kid just think when he truly concentrates on basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? We have to trust Troy Reaver.
Yes.
Look what he's done with this with this franchise, this roster, in barely a year. Yeah. You know, turned it over completely. The only guy remaining from the year before was Sekou Doumbouya. And he is, his existence is fragile in Detroit right now.
I hope he's renting right now, Keith, to be honest.
Exactly, that's right.
Because I look at that kid. He's a kid that probably belongs in the D-League. To develop.
He's
That's so
right.
young.
Yeah.
His skill set, he'll show flashes of why they made him in the first round pick, but he doesn't consistently play well enough, long enough, so that it's just like I think he needs more development.
I agree completely. Yeah.
Yeah. But like you said, Keith, the way Troy Weaver has flipped that roster completely.
You know, back to...
young, hungry guys.
No question. These Detroit franchises that have struggled for so long, you look at the adult leadership in the front office in at least three of the four sports with, I think, Brad Holmes. I'm anxious, excited about what he's doing, especially with advisors like Chris Spielman and so on, you know, and the new coach.
Yes.
And so on. And we got Steve Yzerman doing really wonderful things with the Detroit Red Wings. I worry a little bit about the Tigers' general manager, but we like the manager a lot. We spoke about that a little while ago. There's hope now, where a few years ago, there wasn't much hope.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Any of these teams.
And in just a few minutes, Keith, we will be talking NHL. We'll talk about the NHL championship, or about the Stanley Cup.
We've got to talk about the offseason. It's going to be a very interesting
offseason. Well, that's it, exactly.
We've
got to talk about these Red Wings, what's going to happen. The draft is coming up.
This is a momentous offseason for the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, so they got money, they got different things. And again, Keith and I will continue to talk some Red Wings and NHL hockey. More of Friday Faceoff here in a moment. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff. Rich Calkins, Keith Gave here with you, and we're going to get into a little bit of NHL action here. Keith Gave, obviously, his favorite sport. And Keith, you called it on the Game On update just a couple of days ago about the Tampa Bay Lightning going to win, and they were going to win in a low-scoring affair and have a shutout, and that's exactly what happened.
Every now and then the squirrel finds a nut, right?
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
That was a pretty easy call, considering that that's five series in a row that goaltender Andrei Vasilevskiy has closed out a Stanley Cup series with a shutout. That team knows how to close out a series. This is a really, really, really good hockey club.
Yeah, like you said yesterday on Game On from the Silver Dollar for Rockin' the River and Jays. Let's get those shameless plugs in. We had a great crowd.
Yeah,
and there were so many people there.
It's good to see people out and about. It's just
welcome. It wasn't only that. I mean, it really, a lot of people came because they've been listening to the radio station for Q100. I was shocked. I mean, not that I was shocked. It was just great to see.
It sure was.
Yes.
Everybody.
Very reassuring.
This,
yeah.
By the way, this since 2015, the Tampa Bay has been in the Stanley Cup Finals three times. They've won it twice. They have won 15 series in Stanley Cup playoffs. The next closest in the NHL in that span is nine. They're the dominant team in the NHL. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised, even though it's going to be really difficult to keep this core together because of this salary cap, I wouldn't be surprised to see them back next year. This is a great team. They're a ruthless team, and they know how to win.
Yeah, and they dropped the opening series a couple years ago with maybe their best team.
They won 62 games.
Yeah.
They tied Detroit.
And they lost four. Four,
they got swept by Columbus.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was.
Yeah.
And remember, this was a team built primarily by Stevie Yzerman, and so he knows how to get these guys, and that's why there's so much hope with the Red Wings.
Some of those players that he used to build that team are going to be available this summer. Don't be surprised to see a Lightning or two who's won a couple of Stanley Cups on the Detroit Red Wings this next year.
Well, they know what they're getting when they come to Detroit, and we'll see if
Steve can restore some of the cachet in the D, in the Red Wing sweater, Keith, because it's not, there is no cachet in it right now.
No, but it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. This is, we were just, Rich and I mentioned just before you left, JC, a few minutes ago, this is a really a momentous offseason for the Detroit Red Wings. Momentous. They get the sixth overall pick again. They got, what, two first-round picks.
Three
seconds and two-thirds.
Yeah.
Seven picks in the first three rounds. They're sitting on $48 million of cap space, the most of any team except the new franchise, Seattle. They could spend a little bit of money, and he throws around dollars like, what do they say, nickels like manhole covers? He doesn't.
No, Stevie's cheap.
He's ruthless, too. I mentioned ruthless the way that Tampa Bay is. That's his legacy in Tampa, ruthless. And he's that way in Detroit. He's going to be.
Well, you take a look at the guy. You know, Braden Point was a third round pick.
That's
a
right.
Number that, you know, it's not all bonus babies that are on the ice for Tampa. And the the NHL, just like every league now, Rich, so prizes draft picks, which I think is foolish. Because, I've always liked what Dave Dombrowski did in baseball, which I'm moving draft picks and prospects for proven results on the field. Not so much in hockey anymore, Keith, because it's such a fast game, such a young game, and guys lose it way faster than they used to. We've been talking about Stamkos for a while. Now, I know he's had some injuries, but for the most part, we don't see as many 35, 36, 37-year-old pros out on the ice like we did 10 years
ago. That's why we're going to see fewer of those 7- to 8-year contracts for $50, $60, $70 million. We should anyways, because all those guys, when they hit 35, they're on the market, and nobody wants to pay $10 million for an old defenseman like Duncan Keith in Chicago. The game is changing that way, too. But some important dates coming up. July 21st is the expansion draft when Seattle fleshes out its lineup. July 23rd is the first round of the NHL draft. It's coming up really, really quick.
Yeah.
July 28th, free agency begins. Going to be really interesting in Detroit again.
For sure.
And then we get development camp in August. And finally in September, we'll have the prospects tournament back. Dates to be determined, but the prospects tournament back in Traverse City. And then followed by the
Wings camp.
Yep.
So, yeah, we will be broadcasting live from Center Ice for a number of those things. But, yeah, the more than any other sport, I think there is reason to value your draft picks and your younger players, Keith. The kids that are playing hockey now are developed at such a young age. You look at the national development team for the United States, and all these kids go in and out of that program. Some of them go to college and become players. And the way the game is played with the speed and the training that they're either getting from the U.S. or in all these different pockets in Sweden and in Finland and everything else, most GMs like Yzerman and everything else go, you know what? This kid has got potential. It's up to me to take it. I will bring in a 19-year-old and get rid of a 35-year-old.
Well, we kind of saw it with Montreal this year. They bring in a kid like Cole Caulfield, right out of college, wins the Hobey Baker Award out of Boston, comes in and was probably Montreal's best player. And he's a little guy.
Yeah.
There's more and more room because the game is so fast right now. Smaller guys are having a great impact on the game.
Well, plus the fact that, I know Yzerman likes bigger players. I mean, that's what they've been targeting.
Yeah.
But with the lack of, vicious physicality, Rich, that we used to see, you can get, like Pat LaFontaine, was one of those guys, small, really hard to hit, but he ended up getting hit a lot and bounced out of the league.
Steve Yzerman was a little guy. He went to his first training camp. Nick Bolano, is the coach, and Dev Bolano's the general manager. They're watching a kid play. He's pretty good. We're going to send him back to Peterborough for one more year in the junior. And Nick Bolano looked at him and said, like hell you are. He's my best player. And he ends up scoring 39 goals, runner-up for Calder Trophy.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, Keith, who are the potential players that the Red Wings could lose to the Kraken that might get picked?
The two names I'm hearing most is Nemestikov, who I really like, a little guy, Slava Kozlov's nephew, and and Adam Ernie. I think they'll keep Ernie. He really...
Well, you love Ernie.
I love the way he plays the game. Remember, yeah. Kurt Maltby, who can score a little bit.
Yep.
Hey, but one cute little story that I saw on Twitter, I guess it was, Igor Larionov's son, Igor the second, he told a little story about how they're sitting at the dinner table last night, and the phone rang, and Igor
Senior,
his phone rang, didn't recognize the number, but he answered it, and it's Nikita Kucherov. And Kucherov says, he's like screaming, probably still had a few pops in him 24 hours later, "You're my hero, thank you, you're my hero, thank you, you're my hero, thank you." And it was like, he gave chills down, out of the blue. Nikita Kucherov calls Igor Larionov, star from the Detroit Red Wings, and it's
very holy. Cool. The Larionov said, "Well, go to Detroit."
Yeah. No kidding, eh? But that is.
It's kind of cool, and you know that first generation of Russian players, Larionov and Fedorov, and those guys, all the Russian Five, are now the epicenter of. A huge amount. I mean, how many Russians are in the NHL right now?
A lot of good ones. And the fact is, though, they're not all coming. They get a sniff of the NHL and go back and play the KHL. It's pretty competitive. They're keeping a lot of players.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's fine. I guess you can live on rubles.
they're paying a little bit better. I don't know how they are, but... But the best ones are in the NHL.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, I mean,
absolutely.
Did you see
Vasilevsky? My God, was he?
Did you see his press conference after the? He's sitting there with no shirt on, drinking a beer.
I haven't seen the video yet.
God.
I heard it's great.
Oh, it was hilarious. And he's dogging Montreal.
That was Kucherov.
That
was Kucherov.
Oh, okay,
Kucherov.
But it was so funny. I died laughing because. The way the camera looked like he had no clothes on whatsoever.
He's got no shirt on.
Yep, and he's drinking a beer and talking and dissing him.
And
I just thought,
he's dissing the media for giving the Vezina Trophy to Fleury out in Las Vegas. He had a good year. But he said, look at Vasilevsky. We got 2 years in a row. We have a Stanley Cup. Give me a break. You know, you guys are idiots.
Right.
You know, he's in Montreal. He said they win game four there, and they celebrate like they won the Stanley Cup. Come on.
He was
great.
Doesn't understand Montreal, like, you know what I mean?
Look at, you know, some of the best things that ever happen in sports are when athletes have achieved their ultimate goal and they have a few pops in them. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the press conferences for the Ryder Cup when the whole team comes up after they've, you know, it's about 45 minutes later.
Right.
Everybody's been having some drinks, and both the American celebrations sometime, which we haven't seen that many of, but sometimes the European celebrations, those guys are looped, and they're dogging on each other, and they're dogging on the USS teams, and they're dogging at the reporters.
I love it.
And they've got the champagne on the tables and everything else. And, you know, that's when you see the veil come down just a little bit.
That's right.
And the amount of relief. I wish I knew that feeling.
Yeah,
I've never known that particular feeling.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine when I see that happen every once in a while, I go, so that's what that's like.
We all go through
The post-game, all the interviews and so on were pretty colorful because the Tampa Bay Lightning were dropping a lot of F-bombs. And it was pretty... people were having a good time. You know what? Good for them. They earned it.
Yeah.
Look, you know how hard it is to win a championship in anything. You know, especially in pandemics and all that's happened.
So much has to go
hard. You know, Keith, you know better than any of us the injuries that are hidden, guys playing with in the NHL.
He's got a rod in his. He broke his fibula blocking a shot. He goes in for surgery. They put a rod in it. This guy wanted to play a week later. He wanted to play. And, in fact, he was on skates in a full uniform. He was the third guy to walk the Stanley Cup around the ice on skates with a rod in his leg. That's hockey.
I mean, hockey, yeah, they are. They are the craziest players out there. I mean, they just...
Killorn, by the way, could be one of the players who's available this year because they can't keep them all. I'd love to see that guy in Detroit, late 20s. I'd love that guy.
As you mentioned, it's going to get really interesting here in the next couple of weeks with the draft, with free agency, and with Steve Yzerman with somebody else's money.
Yes.
When we return here on Friday Face Up on Up North Sports Radio, we will have the Get Around guys on and talk a little bit local sports.
Very little, yes. Exactly.
Rich, I hope you took your notes. So we're back after these. Brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. James Cook from the Get Around is on with us from Traverse City Record Eagle Sports Department. James, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Great. Did you get to decompress after your guys' maniac schedule the last few weeks?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I took a couple of days off last week just to kind of try to settle down and everything after we had so many teams there in the semifinals and finals down in Lansing at the MSU campus.
Yeah, and so, James, what kind of sports do we have going on around Northern Michigan now that you guys are following?
Last night we had the Cherry Mile, which is kind of an elite one-mile race that they have every year at the Cherry Festival. Julia Flynn from Traverse City Central and Hunter Jones from Benzie Central won that race, which kind of, I guess, to be expected. Those are two of the elite runners around here. This weekend on Saturday, we've got the Festival of Races, which is a whole, I guess, a 5K, a 10K, a 15K, and a half marathon all around, you know, up. We have Peninsula, or Old Mission Peninsula, and ends at the open space. So that'll be largely what I'm doing tomorrow.
Okay, and it looks like as far as those runners, when they start getting into 10Ks, 5Ks, and then half marathons, they like that little bit of cooler weather, and it looks like that's what we're going to have. So it could be pretty good, ideal running conditions.
It should be, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and aside from that, I mean, we've got, you know, we got the Traverse City Pitch Bidders still going. They just finished up the first half of the season. They won their division, so they've already secured a playoff spot with half of the season to go. So, which is always, it's always an interesting format they have like that. A bunch of the minor leagues do that. And I asked the coach just this week, you know, if he's worried about the team letting down the second half of the season. But, when they did that in 2019, they won the first half title, and when they're second half of the season, their record was even better. So he wasn't that worried about it.
You get to many of those games, James?
I haven't been to a ton this year yet. Been out there to the ballpark and done, you know, interviewed players and people with the team and stuff like that, more so than actually just going and sitting down for a baseball game. I'm looking forward to maybe being able to do here in the next couple of weeks.
James, what's their calling card?
A lot else going on when the festival finishes.
Well, what's their calling card? What when we go to a Pitch Bidders game, what can we expect to see? Are they a big hitting team, pitching team? Who are there any players we should look at?
Their pitching is pretty. I think it kind of leads the team, but they've got some really really good hitters as well. Mario Camaletti, who's their second baseman, hits a lot of times at the top of the order, and he's a really good guy at CMU, and returning all star for the league and everything. It's in his third year, so he's kind of a big following here too.
Well, Rich is dying to ask you, James, what is your experience with the Asabo River Canoe Marathon, if any?
We've covered it a little bit over the years, but, I've never actually been to it. It seems like one of those things that would kind of be cool to go watch one
kinda
time.
Yeah.
It's a 24-hour grueling endurance event.
It's incredible, James. You have to experience it at least once, and after you do that, you'll be back again.
Yeah, maybe we'll have you on just before George Blaha.
I'll guarantee you, James, if you see it one time, you're never going to want to miss it. It's a uniquely Northern Michigan event. It's one of them. I've covered sports my entire career. It remains one of the most exciting sporting events I have ever witnessed, and I can't wait for the one coming up.
It's yeah, I like the, how they do the start, too, where they have to run through the streets for a little while with the boat.
Well, we broadcast live right from the start of the race, so you can start buttering me up now. actually, next week we'll have you on, and Rich will give you the breakdown, so you'll get the inside scoop on what teams.
Right.
What I was surprised they already have 80
teams, 82 signed up, but three have withdrawn, so we're at about 78 right now. Right, they've already set a record for the number of paddlers out of Texas this year. 20 paddlers from Texas. They've done a good job recruiting down
there.
Yeah,
they have.
They're bringing them up here, so that's awesome.
Go ahead, James.
Any reason why specifically that state?
There's another race down there that is called the Texas Water Safari.
Yeah.
That is an incredible, crazy race, but it doesn't compare. It doesn't go all night long.
It's
like
over several days.
Several days. Yeah. They stop each day, camp, and then start again.
Right.
But they've been doing some good jobs recruiting teams from that race.
There's a huge amount of folks from Texas that come to Northern Michigan anyways. This is a vacation destination, particularly in the golf industry. And there is direct flights from Dallas to Traverse City Airport. So, James, I think you probably know a little bit of that, especially from the golf side of it, that in the summer it's too damn hot to play golf down in Texas. So a lot of people come up here. So there is that kind of connection. Actually, I know a lot of people that are starting to buy. You know, it's not just snowbirds. There's Texicans that have property or rent homes for a number of months up here, and I think that has something to do with it as well.
My daughter's new in-laws in Texas, this is the first time they've ever been to Michigan. They'll be back again. They loved it so much, the natural beauty. They crossed the Mackinac Bridge. They went to Mackinac. They just couldn't believe it. They were so impressed. And we kind of take it for granted now.
Well, Keith.
Shame on us.
Oh, no. See,
well, it's not that. It's, you know, Keith, you've been to Texas. And, you know,
lived there for 4 years.
Texans love Texas. But, you know, the summers suck.
They do. They're tough.
August. Why do you think the Cowboys have a training camp in California?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
James, anything on your radar the next couple of weeks that we should be thinking about, or what's your next podcast about?
One of the big things that Jake and I are working on right now is we're starting to get organized on what stories we're going to do for our fall preview tab that's coming out in August. But we're also working in the meantime on all of our dream teams, which is where we select the best players from our coverage area in every sport, and have a full page thing that comes out in the paper usually on Sundays. So we're working on that. I think track and field is going to be this weekend, and then hoping baseball and softball after that, and then all the other sports too, soccer, golf, tennis. And spring is a crazy hectic time.
Yeah, I'm sure it takes you a while to shift through all the data and getting those teams right, because we know how important it is to kids to see them named to those teams, not from just a pride standpoint, but maybe scholarships and all the other things that go along with it. So we'll make sure that we circle back with you next week and listen to the podcast, The Get Around Guys.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Well, gentlemen, another week of Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio down the drain, but that doesn't mean that the action never ends on FanDuel, Keith.
I know you're watching the NBA playoffs, so we don't have to tell you that now is the perfect time to get in on FanDuel Sportsbook. But new users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $1 bet, Rich.
That's right. You know, what conference finals bet you like, and which team would you choose to win the next game? You know, that's a listen to JC each day on his broadcast. He's going to tell you what he's thinking. There are even more ways to win on FanDuel throughout the playoffs, and collecting your winnings is a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours, plus the app is just so easy to use.
Yeah, just sign up with the promo code WGRY to bet the NBA finals with 30-1 odds. Promo code WGRY unlocks 30-1 odds on any playoff team. Well, you got the Bucks and the Suns left, and the biggest game in the series coming
up
on Sunday. So you can bet that exclusively on the FanDuel Sports app, 21 and over. You must be present in the state of Michigan. First online real money wager for risk-free bet. Refund and bonus issued is non-refundable. Site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus is $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. And guys, as we were talking, a big series of baseball before we run into the All-Star break, the slowest sports week of the year.
Yeah.
I can't believe that they don't have the draft or something in that week.
Yeah.
You know, Wimbledon's ending.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
That's right. No, you're right. It's a good trivia question. What are the two days of the year where there's no major sporting events? The 2 days of the year. People never get it. It's the day before and the day after the major league.
Yeah, there's even Copa will be done and all the soccer. There's nothing.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
someone should hone in. I agree, Jerry. It seemed like it would be a major boon for that league.
That's why I don't understand why they didn't have the match, that Mickelson match, this coming week.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess Cheryl and I will have to talk to each other. But we do have all the Tigers action right here on Up North Sports Radio. So tune in and listen to the Motor City Kitties as they make it to 500 and possibly beyond. And you never know what Cabrera is going to do.
No, yeah. Absolutely. They're worth watching these days, I'll tell you that.
Oh, it's,
all right,
it's
guys.
Fun.
Have a great weekend. And thanks to Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey for sponsoring this program. They're open for gaming, dining, and sports booking now.